I'd be grateful if you would turn back to Acts chapter 4. That's page 115 of the New Testament sections of the Church Bibles. I'm not exactly going to expound the passage, as my theme is wider than any one passage would allow me to take. But I shall be referring to quite a large extent to the passage. Page 115. A warm welcome to our church this morning. Here are the notices for this week. Tuesday, the Brownies meet in the church hall. Wednesday at 11, the Ladies' Sewing Guild. We'll hear Miss J. Spinks, our missionary nurse, speak on the flea in Outer Mongolia. Thursday, the Church of England Men's Society. And Friday, the church prayer meeting, which, as I always say, is the most important meeting of the week. Something like that will have been said in many churches today up and down the country. And this evening we focus on that last event, the church prayer meeting, or indeed any time when Christians meet to pray together in the fellowship group or with just one or two others informally at home. It's often said that the prayer gathering is the most important meeting of the week, that it's the heart of the church family. It's said that you can get a pretty accurate impression of the spiritual health of a church by going to its midweek meeting for prayer. But is that true? And what is a prayer meeting? What's the point of it? How can and should it be conducted? Who can join in and when? It's these questions that I hope to answer, mainly from this passage in Acts chapter 4, tonight. So let's start at the beginning and ask, what are we doing when we pray together? It's a tremendously important question. Many people who go regularly to prayer meetings have never stopped to ask it. And that is why so many times of group prayer are bitterly disappointing. So what are we doing when we pray together? We are having a joint conversation with our God. Verse 24. When Peter and John's friends heard the news, they lifted their voices together to God. They didn't scuttle off into corners to pray their own individual prayers. They had a joint conversation with their God. Sometimes, when I'm praying in a group who are sitting around in a circle, I shut my eyes and try to imagine Jesus standing there in the center of the circle. First one person talks to him, then another, then me, then the first person again, then some different person again, and so on. We're having a joint conversation with our God. Not, let me add, a whole load of individual conversations with God, so that I talk to him about what's on my heart, and you share with him what's on yours, but our two prayers bear no relation to one another. Not that. If that were the case, we might just as well be praying silently on our own. If that were the case, we would be like a crowd of reporters pressing on some celebrity, with the Daily Telegraph having its particular line of questioning, and the Morning Star having a completely different tack, and the NBC News different again, with each reporter trying to butt in and have the conversation he wants. True praying together is nothing like that. It's listening, it's contributing, it's building up a joint conversation with our God. Okay, that's what it is. But what's the purpose of praying together? What's the point of praying with a group or another individual? Well, undoubtedly the main reason is to bring our family concerns to God. Verse 23, when Peter and John were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. It was as natural as can be. Peter and John told their friends about the tricky situation they were in, about the Jewish authorities threatening prison or worse. They shared their difficulties with the Christian family, and immediately, together, as a family, they brought their concern to God. And the situation is very similar in Acts 12, which we had read as our second reading. Now, this ability together to bring our family concerns to God is a tremendous gift. So often, the non-Christian world feels totally helpless in the face of suffering. In fact, it is helpless. Someone goes into hospital with suspected cancer. Someone else is made redundant, or a friend has a serious breakdown, and the non-Christian often can do almost nothing to help. But the Christian can. He can get a friend, a group, or even the whole church to pray, and the healing, the strengthening, the comfort begins immediately, even before God answers the prayer. Even if, in this particular instance, God doesn't answer in quite the way we want, there is tremendous encouragement simply in hearing other people pray for one. And the Christian, who wanted so much to rejoice with those who rejoice, or weep with those who weep, but didn't know how to and felt so clumsy and awkward, has a marvelous outlet when he turns with others to pray. And that is even before God answers their prayer. So when God does answer, the relief and the joy are greater still. But why pray together? Why not simply pray by oneself? Well, simply because we as Christians are a family. And as a family, we share common concerns, common family concerns, which it's only natural that we should bring together to God. Another reason for praying together is to experience Christ's presence with us. We're not given accounts of many of the early church prayer meetings. And when we do hear of them, they're almost entirely taken up with asking God for things. They aren't simply times of worship. And yet at the same time, they knew Christ was present with them in a special way. After all, they had his own promise. Now, will you keep a finger, please, in Acts chapter 4, and turn to some famous verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Now, Jesus has been talking here about church discipline. And then he adds Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, Jesus is present with every individual Christian all the time. But, he says, when they gather together to share, and particularly when they gather together to pray, he promises to be especially present in a way that almost all of us must have experienced. If you've prayed with others several times, you must have known occasions when you have been very conscious of Christ in your midst. It's his own promise. And indeed, we would be gloriously aware of his presence every time we met to pray. If only we were receptive. But so often we arrive at a prayer meeting and we're tired or in a flap and maybe honestly longing for the thing to be over. And we leave as empty as when we came in. The psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God." You won't experience Christ's presence unless you're still. That's why it's so important to prepare for any prayer meeting, to pray for it before you leave home or work, to sit down and pray quietly when you arrive, to clear out other thoughts. That's why the time of praise at our All Souls prayer gathering is so vitally important, to simmer down, to lift our hearts to God, to experience Christ's presence. He can be known in a special way where 2 or 3 or 300 meet to pray. And a third reason for praying together is to grow closer to one another. Verse 24 of Acts chapter 4, this is. Turn back to that. When Peter and John's friends heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. They grew closer as they prayed together. So that it's not surprising when just 2 verses after their prayer, we're told, it's over the page, verse 32. "Now, the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common." There's almost nothing that binds Christians together like prayer. Many's the time that I've spent rather a dull evening with another Christian. Somehow our conversation hasn't really got anywhere. And then we turn to prayer. Not just a perfunctory one each, because we feel that's what Christians ought to do. But spending 15 minutes, half an hour, however long seems necessary, to bring one another and our common concerns to God. And not only has that left a marvelous taste in the mouth at the end of the evening, but it's bound us as friends so much closer together. And that's true also in the fellowship group and the church prayer gathering too. Now I want to face a criticism here. It's sometimes said that our prayer gathering at All Souls is desperately shallow, that we never get to grips with prayer, that we don't really grow closer to one another at all. Well, I'm sure there's truth in the criticism. I'm sure our prayer is sometimes, perhaps often, shallow. We're also very much learners when it comes to prayer. At the same time, I wonder whether some of this criticism doesn't stem from a misunderstanding. Because praying together, as we've seen, is a family affair. It's bringing our family concerns to God. And in a family, every member has some concerns. And some members will have major concerns. And the importance of the concerns will determine how you pray. Let me show you what I mean. Here is a family praying together at the start of a new day. Dad says he's got a lot on at work at the moment. Mum has her usual Wednesday morning Bible study group. John is finding it hard to cope with further maths. And Janet's going to the doctor for her earache. Every member has some comparatively small concern, and the family prays briefly for each. Is their praying shallow? I wouldn't say so. The family shows its love as each member prays for one another. But next day, there are some major concerns. There was a new lady, a non-Christian, at Mum's Bible study group, and she seems really interested. And John has been given his Acca form and needs to choose universities. Now, these are issues the family must pray a great deal about. Perhaps they'll even lay on some extra time that week for prayer together. And yet, through both types of prayer, for minor and major concerns, the family grows closer together. And both types of prayer should be present in the church. Fortnight by fortnight, we hear reports from a large number of areas of the church's life and work. Often, there's news simply of steady progress and minor, though real, needs. And we pray briefly. But at other times, we hear of more major needs or substantial advance. And then we give longer, perhaps a whole section of the prayer gathering, to extended praise or prayer. This careful praying through an area or an issue is sometimes easier in a smaller group. I personally would like to see more of it in the large group as well. I think there's a tremendous excitement in battling through some problem in prayer as a whole church. But I'm quite sure we need both types of prayer. And I'm quite sure that through both, we grow closer to one another. And so to my next question, how should we pray together? How can we train ourselves to play a fuller part? I want to bring out three very important general principles. First, begin with praise. It's noticeable here in Acts 4 that the first five verses, verses 24 to 28, are given over to praise. Not necessarily, as some people have tried to claim, that 80% of our prayer together should be praise and only 20% intercession. In Acts 12, for example, they seem to have prayed for Peter over several hours. But certainly, as in our church prayer gathering, we should normally give ourselves to praise before we turn to prayer. Now let's be honest and ask the question, why is it that that time of praise is often rather disappointing? Why is our koya time of worship often flat and dull? Perhaps the main reason is that we rush into the prayer meeting unprepared. We don't use the few minutes beforehand to be quiet and remind ourselves of all that we have to give God praise for. We don't use the first hymn to feed us with its words and lift our hearts to God and His goodness. But another reason is because many of us have a totally false distinction in our minds between thanks and praise. We think that praise is only for abstract, mysterious things which it's hard for our minds to grasp. We think we can praise God for His omniscience, whatever that means. I suppose He knows. But not for the fun of cleaning the church steps yesterday. That, we think, would be only thanks, and that's inferior. But there is no such distinction in the Bible. You rejoice in what God is like, and you rejoice in what He's done for you. Both are equally praise. Imagine next Tuesday evening, people thanking God for this service. One thanks for the great singing, if you were able to keep up with that one in Psalm Praise. Another for the dedication and quality of the choir. Another that God listens to our praises at all. Then for the beautiful church building in which we can worship. then for the visitors we're privileged to have, then for one particular visitor who was so much helped, then for the new period of quiet before each service, for the joy of fellowship, that we can all call God our Father, and so on and so on. All equally are praise. And if we saw that, perhaps we would regard praise as less unusual, less difficult, and give praise more freely. But if you're stuck for your own words, why not just quote a verse from the Bible as praise, as Peter and John's friends did in verses 25 and 26? Or use a verse from a hymn or a chorus. There are many ways to give God thanks. And almost always we should begin a time of group prayer with praise. Then, be sensitive to the flow of conversation. I've already said that when we pray together, we are having a joint conversation with our God. And there ought to be a flow to that conversation, so that one could give a short resume of each prayer meeting, as verses 24 to 30 are undoubtedly a resume of a much longer time of prayer. But making a resume of some of our times of prayer would be an editor's nightmare. We start with the clubhouse, leap to a missionary in Argentina, and then dart back to an elderly member of the church family in hospital, dotting here, there, and everywhere. And so the conversation gets totally disjointed. In fact, it's doubtful whether there's any conversation at all. And so when a clubhouse need is mentioned, it is natural to stick to the same theme, and then after a time to move on to related themes, the team of helpers, the clubhouse buildings, the work of the school, the reach out team, the old people's welfare visitors, and so on. I may be dying to pray for the ASIF evening, but for the time being I hold back, waiting until one topic of conversation is exhausted before I switch to the next. And conversely, I may have been silent, but wanted to pray for the clubhouse too, but I found that now after some time the conversation has moved on to some other subject, and I must give up my idea of praying, at least aloud, that particular prayer. How much more satisfactory all our times of prayer would be in the fellowship group, just as much as in the prayer gathering, if only we would be sensitive to the flow of conversation. And lastly, think yourself into the situation for which you're praying. We've already seen that in Acts 12 they spent several hours praying for Peter in prison. Now how did they keep at it? Surely after 5 minutes they would have nothing more to say. Well, I imagine that they tried to get into Peter's shoes, to picture him in prison, to feel as he must have been feeling. And then they sought to cover every aspect of that situation in prayer. Now suppose that next Tuesday evening I'm just about to pray for the Psalm Praise recording, and someone else prays for it first. What do I think? She's bagged my prayer. And then go into a sulk for the rest of the evening. On the contrary, I think, tremendous. The conversation is flowing into just the area I wanted to pray for. She's prayed for one part of the evening, I will pray for another. And so as the whole church family thinks itself into the situation of that Sunday night, different people pray for different aspects. That there'll be enough regular members of the church family there for strength as the evening wears on, that we will continue to praise God from the heart, that we'll be kept from technical hitch, that we'll pick up any new tunes quickly, that the words may come over clearly and powerfully, that the short service beforehand will prepare us to sing worshipfully, and so on. You will no longer pray in a dull, dutiful way, but with the exhilarating feeling that you are entering through prayer right into the situation and changing it radically. Yes, exhilarating. It is exciting to be with another Christian or a small intimate group or a much larger crowd and know you are in touch with the living God and experiencing Christ's presence with you. Let me say very sincerely, if you don't come on Tuesday nights, you don't know what you're missing. You're missing a tremendous experience of knowing Christ in our midst. If you come ready to give, silently or aloud. But there's another excitement quite as great, and that is to see God answering your prayers week by week, month by month. So that we pray together for a situation one fortnight, and a fortnight later we come back and we're able to praise. Listen to the end of our story in Acts 4, verse 31. And when they'd prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It's true, you know. The church prayer gathering really is the most important meeting of the week. As we're going to sit after this, again, I'm going to suggest we stand to pray. We come together to pray to you who are at one and the same time both sovereign Lord, able wonderfully to supply all our need, and our Father, interested in us not just as individuals, but as a family together. Father, thank you that we can bring our needs jointly to you. Thank you for the thrill of this joint conversation with our living Lord. Forgive us when we've treated this privilege lightly. And help us to come to the prayer gathering this week, to our fellowship group the week after, and as we pray just in ones and twos, determined, earnest, longing to meet with you through prayer, to the glory of your name. Amen.